They've always kind of held or hidden alcohol well, I think.
Yeah, but you're going to get wrecked after two of these.
Absolutely. Oh, heck
you better eat some. They used to be like 16-ounce bottles, I think.
Yeah.
You better eat some tacos. So
one of them fast enough and you're good.
You're going to fight somebody or something.
Yeah, I mean, I remember.
It don't take much to get Sparky ready to fight, though.
Well, I'm ready. Let's go
right now. Driving from Nashville down to South Carolina, and I'd drive most of the way. We'd get to the brew pub, and my wife, then girlfriend, would walk the dog while I go make my sour order and have a pint of Freak Nature, have a pint of Pernicious, and let her finish the drive.
I was going to say, she probably took over the
wheel. Yeah, and just let me...
Mel.
Yeah, bless her. But that was the...
Then Tim would take a nap.
Yeah.
It's time for beer sleepies.
Well, this reminded me of Lagunitas. You know, something that, you know, really, it was like, wow, you know... I think it's just because, you know, I think of that as the keeper of kind of what does a double IPA, you know, really taste like. Yeah. From a reference guideline, and, you know,
you can see through it.
This really kind of steps right into this. This still holds up very well. This is definitely in a style. I mean, if we had it in a beer competition, it would definitely, you know, get a good high rating for me for sure. I think this is actually probably one of the more truer taste profiles of the three we've had so far. This one is like, yeah, I remember it just like this.
This one is everything.
Hasn't changed.
That last one is not. Like, it stands out. Yeah. It's a bold flavor, and they really went to make a, you know, solid beer.
I don't think the accountants have screwed around with this recipe. Right. Yeah.
No, which is great.
This still will allow you to nap all the way to South Carolina.
Yes. Oh yeah, you'll get a nice sleep.
Like, wow. Nice beer sleep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are going to rate Freak of Nature Double IPA a 4. Okay. Next up for bids is the Coastal Love Hazy IPA. And this one is ironically appropriate. 6.3% ABV, the second beer to hit distribution in our Beers That Build series. A portion of the proceeds for this juicy IPA are donated to hurricane relief efforts in the Southeast. Mm. It doesn't say what hops are used in it, but...
Or what hurricane.
Juicy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes.
I like this beer a lot, man.
It has a lemon peel overtone.
It's weird coming off that last beer because that last beer lingers very aggressive. A little bit, but
it's got like a lemon drop kind of thing, like, you know, like those candies.
Lemon heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's such a great candy.
Yeah.
Lemon heads.
But I thought that the bitterness in this just reminded me of a straight up lemon peel, you know.
You get nice a lot of those. Subtle.
Here, we can rate this up before we cut off for break.
Dang. Nice, though. Yeah, we're going to go with... We're going to rate the Coastal Love a 3.
Oh, you guys...
It would be a good solid beach beer.
I agree.
You're a 4 to me, Coastal Love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's... I mean, it's different, but good. Well, like we'll be back with more in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. On the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we're talking about Wicked Weed Brewing, the before and the after, so to speak.
Well, speaking of before, after, and thereafter, so the question I wanted to throw out for our cast today is when you think about the general cycle that we're in right now in craft beer, when you look at acquisitions, are we at the beginning? Are we kind of at the middle of that phase, or are we at the end of that?
I don't think there's never going to be an end as much as it is a different part of the cycle or a different era.
Oh, I think $1 billion was the end.
That was the end of an era and the start of a new one, absolutely.
I don't think anybody will hit that valuation again.
I think, you know, there's over 9,000 breweries in the United States. A lot of first and second generation are starting to close down now of the original brew pub era. And, you know, I mean, the reality is the younger generations are not drinking alcohol. They're just not. So that 9,000 number is unsustainable. It's just not. So is there an opportunity to get some smart acquisitions in there? Yeah, probably. But there's a lot of dead weight that's going to fall to the side over the next 5 years, I think, as we kind of come out of the pandemic and we deal with this generation that doesn't like alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I will start selling beer goggles, though, because they need that, I feel.
I have invented a new style of beer. Yeah. So you basically just take any hazy beer that you've been producing for the last 3 years and you add THC. And you call it hazy and laced.
Hazy.
I like that.
I've trademarked that.
Hazy and lazy.
I know you're California sober, right? Like that's a thing now. Yeah. So
I think THC is just going to obliterate everything on the landscape for the next 10 years.
You know, and I think it's the sad thing about that is that I've tried a lot of those beverages, and
the base beverages are not good.
No, they're not good. They don't have to be.
Once the industry blows up, you'll get the more and more craft aspect of that. But I think in terms of acquisitions, like the big boys and girls out there are done buying breweries, and they tried what they wanted to do, and some worked, some didn't. And now I think you'll see like kind of more creative or different money. Maybe it's some of these regional ones that are struggling because craft brewing is in a downturn. There's just so little growth unless you're making beer that's non-alcoholic.
I felt like the buyouts, there were a couple of different reasons people were buying. Like sometimes it was, I see a successful brand. We can probably push this and make some money. And then sometimes it seemed like they would just buy it to sit on it. And then, like, this is a threat to us.
Was the one brewery that came to my mind that just got sat on.
Yeah,
you know,
Reverend Mark and I have talked about that.
Like, let's just get it out of the way.
Strategy was
this is a regional threat. Yeah. We're going to kill it off so we can get more tap handles.
I think they added, they added Washington and Idaho and, you know, maybe Northern California and called it a day for 10 barrel.
Because, like,
one of the first was that Virginia.
Yeah.
Devil's Backbone. They had beer that was
Vienna Lager was
exactly Vienna Lager.
Great Vienna Lager, and then
that was maybe their first one they ever bought.
It was early.
I feel Goose
was first.
That was pretty early on. Yeah, but like because you know
Elysian.
Like the big breweries, they you know they have different techniques for carving out shelf space, you know, with the distributors, like, you know, hey, we'll offer incentives or do different things, you know, just to get more and more of that shelf and aisle space.
Pay to play.
I have to tell you though, like being like intimately involved with like Sweetwater and Lagunitas and some of these, you know, Ballast Point, some of these brands, and just watching their culture just get completely, because that's what they always came in with, like, oh, we're gonna let you keep your unique culture.
Can't
and
sip culture.
You can.
And you can just still drink on the job. Yeah, just, and like, da, da, da.
Like, uh-huh. Like you would go in to the Lagunitas brewery in Chicago and they were playing Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka, and it was like the trippiest, craziest stuff on the planet, and they just shut it down, right, like a couple of months ago. And it's like you kept seeing all this like unique, amazing culture just completely annihilated.
Thanks for making great beer, now go get a real job.
And it was always sad too, because they would always, you know, I knew a lot of those people in the middle that like were the brand ambassadors, they're really passionate about it. They're all out of a job now. They're all gone. Like they had this, like they built it up to this huge thing, and then
welcome to Crystals. Would you like a 10 pack today?
Yeah.
Totally.
It's like the first thing they bring in is a time clock. You know, all right, no, everybody, you know.
Cool. Yeah. Well, they did talk about Wicked Weed. They always talked about kind of being hands-off. And, like, Goose Island, you know, which we say is still kind of success for InBev. Like, in Chicago, Chicago people love those bars or tap rooms or whatever they call them. Like, there's four or five at least across the city that are...
A close one in Lincoln Park. Yeah.
They're
crazy.
I mean, they're still... When I've been there, there's still a lot of people there.
Honkers, like the 312.
The local community still does embrace them. And Wicked Weed wanted that, but I feel like
it's not scaled outside of Chicago, right?
I really think the one thing that they did very well with the Goose products is that they took them and did off-premise exceptionally well, especially in sports venues, where they gave up one tap handle that they already had.
312.
Correct. And they put Goose, you know, they put Honkers, you know, directly on, one of those taps that they already had, and took off, you know, a brand that they had been swapping, you know, 4, 5, 10 different times. And I think that was what, you know, really... I was looking at that and going, oh, so that's the model. That's what you're going to do with all these acquisitions.
But they didn't.
And they did not.
It was like a different...
They did not copy that model.
Yeah. That's what was confusing.
Of taking a lot of things and swapping InBev, you know, taps, you know, out for other products, you know, that had been placed in the portfolio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that, you know, I don't know if it's true, but they bought up like either a bunch or trademarked a bunch of like either area codes or like airport codes. And then every airport would have its own. You
615.
Know, this could have been some rumor for sure.
I would have loved a 615 with the carpet of the old airport.
Exactly. So every airport has the 312, 615, all that.
Oh my gosh. What a bad idea.
But that could have also been.
Speaking of a bad idea, let's talk about this pineapple.
Okay. So
I was hoping
we were in the flagship series, and now we're going to the Dr. Dank series. This is the Dr. Dank Pineapple Dream, 6.7% ABV. Dr. Dank's delectable botanicals offer the dankest of flavors to expand the mind, body, and palate. This IPA, dreamiest new world hops with real pineapple for a tropical resinous blast.
It almost tastes like pineapple juice. It's turned.
I was gonna say, this is like a can of Dole that you had to kunk. Like, I remember like pineapple sculpin, like that was all right.
Oh yeah,
that was all right.
That was pretty
that
good.
One was okay.
Can we just accelerate the conversation about all three of these
about
fruits?
The colors? Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think we should just accelerate this and then go to the bonus beer.
I don't
is
think
what
this
I
is
think,
that
so.
Bad. I mean,
okay. One thing that's true about this though, it is dank.
Yeah, it smells super dank. The flavors are complete opposite. Dank and like acidic pineapple
does not work
at all.
No, but. You taste pineapple. Granted, it's a crazy pineapple.
And mango is even a worse idea.
Well,
and the strawberry is
okay. But anyway, so right. The Dr. Dank pineapple.
How do you want to rate the pineapple
dream?
One,
we are going to rate
a 5.
One.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
A 1.
Yeah.
Oh, God. See, this goes back to what's better, 1 or 5? I don't know.
Gosh.
Okay, and then moving on, let's go to the, again, in the Dr. Dank series, the Mango Wowie. This is 6.2% ABV.
Worst beer of the flight.
Dr. Dank offers the dankest of flavors to expand your mind, your body, and your palate. So this hazy IPA uses awe-inspiring cashmere and citra hops with real mango for a blast of tropical fruit. Yeah.
This beer makes me want to offer Pernie Hayes a sincere apology for all the terrible things I said about it.
This is the worst beer in the flight.
I just saved some freak so I can cleanse my palate from whatever's left. So
I am going to send them a free t-shirt that says, please stop making this beer.
I will say one nice thing about this beer. It does have a pleasant mango aftertaste.
Yeah. It does, but it doesn't taste like a beer to me.
No, it just, no. You put some THC.
I hate mango. Yeah. It's the only fruit I hate, and I feel sorry for it that I got put in this beer.
You hate mango? How do you hate a fruit?
I don't know. I didn't pick
my
flavors.
What did he ever do to you?
You don't know about his childhood.
This is a really good Canadian export.
Tim was.
I don't want to talk about it.
Tim was pelted with mangoes as a
little
child.
Poutine with this mango.
You see this lump on my head?
It could work.
Oh my God.
Okay, it's just it's not a beer.
Good.
All and right. We're and it's not good.
Okay, okay.
We're gonna rate it a one.
All right, fine. Can we talk about the strawberry nightmare?
It was better than the.
Oh my goodness!
Okay. It was so the mango was better than the pineapple.
It was.
Okay, yeah. So this one in our fruity series is actually this is a flagship, and this is the strawberry kiwi burst. Yes, because when you go to their website, they have the flagship, the Dr. Dank, the seasonal, the barrel aged specialty.
Does it come an overwhelming desire to put on white boots?
Does this have like a 32-ounce can and it's actually a strawberry kiwi Arita? Is that what we're doing?
Okay, so this is a 4.5% session sour. Session sour ale, okay?
No, that's a lie.
Yeah. There's nothing good that's going to come of this.
Okay, at all. So
Jello shots are way better.
So the smell is artificial strawberries.
Oh yeah, it put the A in artificial. That's for not sure. Even the,
yeah. Where do you start?
I'm here for you.
Oh my God,
Tim,
it makes
Tim,
me want to
just
run,
if you need, I've got you.
Yeah, so thank
you.
Last
I'm going
night,
through a lot right
some,
now.
You putting some freak
trying to
in
process this.
Strawberry?
I was in this I'm long conversation about about cocktails, and we were discussing aromatics. This needs an atomizer that just is so offensive that smells like dead farts that you just do not want to drink it.
If this was a vodka seltzer, I mean, I would not be surprised. Like if you poured this as a
right. If you put some THC
drinks.
In this, yeah. It would yeah. actually
it would
be
sell.
A good
yes, that's
cocktail.
Exactly right. Correct. It would sell, yes. Yeah.
You can make 4.5 in THC
10,
lace.
10 milligrams?
Yes. Yes. We'll call this, it fruity and lace.
Are we sure this is not NA?
Oh, it
no.
should be.
I mean, yeah.
Is there
it's
alcohol
not
in this?
NA. Yeah, 4.5%.
You know, yeah, you
by
said,
volume?
Hey, this is like a vodka can cocktail. I'd say, thanks. But if I said, can I have a beer? And you handed me this, I would just
I'd
walk away.
You right
yeah,
in
we
the
would
face.
Never be friends.
Yeah, what's going on with it?
Oh, all right. Man, this is worse than the Aldi show.
Yeah, that was a one,
good Lord,
folks.
Like everything just sort of fell off a cliff.
I just, every time I go into Aldi, which I've like, it's taken some time, I've like had some stranger danger. Like,
so do you think that this style line, we've had some really good sour beers, you know, from Wicked Weed's, you know, Funkatorium for sure. I don't know who dreamed up, you know, this fruited nightmare, you know, line, but
Satan.
Do you think that? Well, speaking of Satan,
you've got the devil
do you
in
think
you.
That it was, you know, InBev overlords that stepped in and said we can market and make this, you know, low
they
ADV
showed them
line
some.
Really
have you seen
well.
The show Limearita? Guess what happens when we throw strawberry in it, friends?
They showed some trend analysis. I'm pretty sure,
and I don't think these are infected. These are just
no, they're not.
Yeah,
no,
these are intentional acts of war.
Their QA is gonna be crazy. Yeah, they're not sending out infected beer. They're just they came upon like a shipping container full of strawberry candies.
Do you think this is like Boar's Head
candies.
Braunschweiger?
I like the no fact friends. That we're even having the conversation. I don't think it's infected. That's like every time I cut my hand or something.
Are
Juliana's
we back to talking
like,
about
you need
the
to
growth?
Go to the doctor.
Wow. Are we talking about your growth again?
Look, yeah. I don't think the hair is infected.
All right, here, hold on, guys. I'm going to show you my growth.
Oh, my God.
Thank God for radio.
And scene.
In so many ways. Okay.
Emotional damage.
Well, this next beer you poured for us, JB, is pretty good. So
okay,
let's chat about
so,
it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you to good old boy Tim for bringing this.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, this...
So much wood.
It's a byproduct of hanging out in North Carolina for 15 years.
Sure is.
Sparky,
okay.
This
finally.
Is a family show.
Okay, this is the Batch 1000. This is 11.5% ABV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're not going to feel your molars. It's
nope.
Okay. Bourbon barrel-aged imperial dark ale brewed with turbinado sugar, dried cherries, golden raisins, star anise, rose hips, and plums. Each of the first three brewers at Wicked Weed, so Luke, Walt, and Eric, chose two of the ingredients that were used in this special batch.
Okay. How come I have a feeling this is a pre-acquisition beer?
I think it was.
This is a pre-acquisition
beer. Oh, I know it was
beer.
Because I bought it.
Right.
I'm like literally not joking though.
No, this is right. This is a pre-acquisition beer.
None of my money shall go to InBev.
And this honestly represents the heyday of what we enjoyed about Wicked Weed.
Yeah.
Because I have like two untapped
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them was last year we had a bottle that we opened up, and then the other one was from 2017.
This is a great beer. Very complex.
It's great.
It's like 20-layer cake. Yeah.
I'm not getting into the rose hips or any of that stuff, but turbinado and raisins like all day long.
For sure.
Yeah, and a little bit of the cherry, you know, like a whiskey cherry kind of thing going on.
The anus is all in there.
But so much wood from
it's all wood and anus.
Yes.
I mean, it's great.
Yep. No, and this is a five because this really represents the greatness.
It has a date on the bottle.
You know what? And we're going to give good old boy Tim a five for bringing it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, good job, Tim.
This was bottled 3/21/16.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was before, in the before times.
When we were all young and innocent.
Long ago.
Right. Yes.
Well, I think to wrap up a little bit of our conversation, of our topic today is, you know, I look forward to going back and listening to this episode like 5 years from now and going, we were right or we were wrong, you know, because I don't think any of us would have guessed this is where, you know, a lot of these beers from acquisition would have wound up, you know.
Yeah.
Do you remember what Sparks was like before the stroke? Here, listen to this episode.
Right.
Okay. Good boy, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. Come back, listen to another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I will ask you to keep on sipping. Big Ginger.
Good old boy, Sparky. Thanks for being here.
I will do my all for the University of Tennessee.
Wow.
Good old boy, Tim. Thanks for bringing the beer, and thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Wicked Weed was an early craft beer love, especially from North Carolina, so it was fun to revisit. And
yeah.
Thanks.
Cool. Good old boy, Dave.
My nipples are always hard.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
And that's, it goes with that saying.
You just had that pace. That
this
was it.
This is good to come, Juliana. It's keep not that on difficult. Struggling and God bless. We'll see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
somebody like I never knew. The confusion of somebody like no
I came with no intentions. Why did you bring me?